winemaking dates back all the way to 7000 BC. Over the years, the process has been refined to what it is today. Hello everyone, and thanks for checking out the Rural Perspectives podcast. I'm your host, Adam Ulrich, and today we're joined by Jenny Ellenbecker, president of the Minnesota Grape Growers Association and co-owner of the Round Lake Vineyard and Winery in Round Lake, Minnesota. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you.
For those listening along, feel free to grab your favorite Cabernet, or maybe a Merlot, or maybe even a Pinot Noir, and let's get started.
Or if you want to, you could grab a Minnesota variety and let's add our Marquette, Brianna, St. Pepin, or La Crescent, one of your favorite Minnesota varieties.
There's options.
There's a lot of options. We grow some great grapes here in Minnesota.
To put things into perspective, let's talk about the average vineyard. What is it like? How big is it? Give us a picture of what a vineyard is like in Minnesota.
I get that all the time, that you can grow grapes here in Minnesota. Yes, you can. As you said, they've been doing it for many years, and they have been growing great in Minnesota. Perspective of vineyards, we have small ones. People have maybe 5 or 10 plants in their backyard, just little hobbyists having fun with it. Or you get up to the bigger scale commercial ones that have 30 to 40 acres of grapes. They're all in between there.
So how much room or space is needed to really sustain a winery itself?
You can have 10 acres. It has to be 10 acres to be a Minnesota farm winery. So that's part of our rules for that. And you could have maybe 1 or 2 acres of that just be fruit. And then you can purchase your grapes from any other Minnesota vineyard. That's why you don't have to be a winery and a vineyard together. You can just be a vineyard.
Sure, sure. And so what would be then considered a large vineyard?
Large would be anywhere, I would say, from 10 to 30 to 40 acres are your larger vineyards. When you get past that 20 acres, you have to be a little bit more mechanical, meaning you would probably have a harvester for your fruit and pre-pruning machines, just because it takes a lot of time for one person. One person can cover an acre really easy.
And you mentioned that people might be surprised that we grow grapes in the upper Midwest, but what type of challenges does that present to winemakers and grape growers?
You have to pick the right variety for your site. For instance, we can't grow Cab or Merlot here in Minnesota. You have to have your cold hardy varieties, which have been developed by the university and private breeders throughout Minnesota and Wisconsin. So starting with that, you got to check your site, make sure it's suitable for growing fruit, and then you can get started on that. We have a lot. I mean, this year's been pretty good. We have the cold, the polar vortex, of course, and that can affect your grapes and your growing. We have the threat of frost in the spring. We also have hail damage that in certain times can be very detrimental to our crops. Right now we're worried about today. The weather might not be, if we get a rainstorm just when our little buds are coming out, or hail, that's going to break those off, and then we'd have to go back and hopefully their secondary nodes will come out. So that would decrease our production rate.
So the vines and everything are pretty susceptible to, obviously, the climate.
The weather, just like any farmer. We're always complaining and checking the weather. Too much rain, too much heat, too much cold, too much snow. Not enough rain, not enough.
Right, right. Are grape growers able to get a unique flavor by growing fruit here?
Yes, we have Minnesota varieties, and cold hardy varieties are more, they have higher acidity usually, and they give off a little bit more. It's kind of the floral bouquet, or they have tropical flavors, which is fun and unique, and our consumers are now, we're educating them, and they're looking for those unique varieties now.
Is that taste or flavor influenced by the soil type, or is it just kind of the growing, the weather patterns and things like that?
Yep, it's a growing season that we're a little bit shorter. If you go over to like the same Loire Valley, theirs is going to be a little higher in acidity also there, because they have the shorter growing season and the heat. It just depends on where you're at. In California, there's cold, higher elevations, and there's that grape variety will be different than the ones that are down in the heat.
Now we're talking quite a bit about turning grapes into wine, but are there any grape growers in Minnesota or in this region that market the crop in a different way?
There's quite a few different ways that you could. We have 2 varieties in our vineyard right now, table grapes. And the university, I know, is working on some different table grape varieties. They're the seedless ones. We have Somerset seedless in ours and Bluebell. They make great grapes for table grapes for eating, and also jellies and jams.
Now, grapes, of course, grow on a vine. And you mentioned harvest a little bit ago, depending on the size of operation. But what does an average harvest for you guys look like?
Grapes are unique. They're not like strawberries. So strawberries, you pick some and then you come back and you can pick some again. Our varieties come due. Brianna will pick that whole variety at once. For instance, they'll start, some come due the end of August all the way through September and into October, just depending on the season, the heat, the cold, and we want to make sure we get them out before frost. So it's all depending on the weather again.
So it does sound like there's a fair amount of manual labor that goes into it, but you did mention before, if you do have a larger farm, there is infrastructure or machinery that can also assist.
Yep. Our rule here, what we do, we usually touch the vines, each plant, probably about 8 to 10 times. How the grapevine works is in the winter, which is nice, they're all dormant, which is our kind of our time, resting time, which is good. We'll start pruning in January and February. All that is above on our cordon has to come off. So by hand, you'll prune them through. You'll leave about 4 nodes. And then once they bud out, we have different seasons. We have bud swell, which is now. Then we have bud break. The plants will then go through bloom, where you'll have, that's when they'll be blooming, very fragrant. My favorite time in the vineyard is just a nice time. After bloom, we need to tuck. So you'll be walking through, making sure you have to train the vines. If you just let them go, they'll be a big bush. So we're always going through, tucking them up, positioning them. And then there's the veraison, which is when the grapes then turn the color that they're going to be. So they'll be green, and then they'll turn a dark purple for the ones that are going to be the red wines, and the other ones will turn white, and then we go till harvest, which is in October or September.
So how long does it usually take for a grapevine, a plant, to actually take root and then, of course, produce fruit that, you know, is harvestable?
It's 3 years. So the first year is what you go, you work on your plot, where you're going to put them in. You put them in and you just work on watering them. If they don't water, if you don't have any rain in 10 days, you got to water them. And then you work on your structure. So that would be your trellising. If you don't have trellising, they'll grow on a bush on the ground and they won't do very well. The second year is when you train them. That is the worst year. Everybody knows it. You're trying to get them up on the cordons. It takes a lot of time. And then the third year is when you have them up on the cordon, you're just, you'll get some fruit, not as much. The fourth, fifth, and sixth year, you'll have quite a few for your production.
Well, let's talk a little bit more specifically about all those flavorful bottles of wine that you guys make. Without giving away any trade secrets, of course, how does a winemaker settle on the right flavor?
It depends on the fruit, because each one, like our old, take La Crescent and Brianna, Minnesota cold hardy varieties, they're still going to all have that same characteristic. Brianna is pineapple-y, tropical, with some fun, and the year through then, and the winemaker has that, but they can either make it sweeter or drier, just depending on how they want to finish it.
And it seems like there are a lot of factors that go into the equation of finding the right flavor, from anything like the variety of grape, which you just mentioned, to even the type of barrel that's aged in.
Oh yes, we have about 200 oak barrels here on site, and it's fun to track the barrels. We go through a program. You don't want to put all of your, we have new barrels, neutral barrels, and neutral barrels means that they've been used 2 years or 3 years. They're not really giving off that oaky flavor, but they're still in there maturing and softening the tannins and ripening through there.
So how does the aging process work? Because obviously aging is seems to be a pretty big deal in the wine business.
It is. It just, and it depends on the barrel. For our Minnesota, for our Marquette, we'll use Minnesota oak. Of course, the Minnesota oak, it's grown here in the colder regions, so your grains are going to be tighter. And that kind of affects how it's aging through there and what flavors it's going to give off. And the winemaker will decide, or will decide how much we'll put in, maybe 5% or 10%. If Marquette, you don't want to have it too oaky because its grandfather's a Pinot Noir. So you use less new oak going into that and more neutral barrels, and then less time. So the Pinot Noirs are usually maybe 8 months in oak or less, or they might do, the winemaker might do half of it in stainless steel and the other half in oak barrels and then blend them together. So you won't have too much of that oaky flavor. Whereas you're looking at your Cab and your Marlbeck and your Zin, you want them, they'll be in the oak barrels a little bit longer. They could be in barrels for 3 years, just depending on the time. We'll taste through them. You can't rush it. You can't go, it's 8 months, I got to come out, or it's a year, they got to come out. You just start tasting through and find out the flavor profiles.
We are speaking with Jenny Ellenbecker, president of the Minnesota Grape Growers Association and co-owner of the Round Lake Vineyard and Winery. The state of California plays a large role in U.S. grape production. Could you talk a little bit about how much of impact that one state has kind of on your entire industry?
California impacts the wine industry. They have kind of the production since that was the big start of it. Now, I think you can find grapes in every state in the U.S. But still for our barrel makers, and they're the industry starting through there. So our barrels come from there. Our bottles, we get most of our bottles come shipped from there. Also, when we blend, so we'll get some of our fruit even from California and Washington. Washington, we get a lot. I like some of the flavor profiles that Washington's giving off. And we won't just stop there. Some of us, the cold hardy varieties, let's say if we had a really bad year here in Minnesota, and we might supplement ours from maybe New York or bring some in if they have a Marquette. I know some of the wineries do. We haven't had to do that yet this year or in our 4 years that we've been here, but I know some of the other wineries might have had to do that.
So we've seen an explosion in the number of craft breweries with the changing demographics among consumers. Is the wine industry experiencing anything similar?
It has over the last few years. We started planning in 2007. And I know at the time there was not very many wineries at all or even vineyards. We started planting. We were doing 5 acres at a time, and that was really kind of unheard of. Everybody just had a couple acres. And now you hear there's at least 4 or 5 other wineries that have 30 plus or 20 plus vineyards out there. So it's really exploded. We are probably at 92, I think, registered wineries in the state of Minnesota, which I'm not sure the numbers back. It probably was 20, so it's exploding. And they're all fun and unique, which is the best thing about wineries in Minnesota.
In a similar vein, consumer tastes also change over time. How are winemakers keeping up with things like that?
We go through the industry and we check on the background. I know coming up now, they're looking for lower alcohol wine or, you know, less sweet wine and sugar wine. But then you still have to go with that industry growth. But you still have to hit your consumers that maybe have just started drinking wine and they're not used to it. They're coming in new. They're going to want more of that sweeter rind to start with, and then they'll gravitate to. That's why we have 20-some different varieties of wine on our shelf, is to hit that market where there's something for everybody here.
Now, agritourism, I'd imagine, factors into a winery. There's a certain element of the look that vineyards give off. How big of a role does agritourism play in attracting customers to your industry?
It's a big role. We work with Minnesota Grown. They are great at putting out their magazine to help get the consumers to the local. Like I said, Minnesota, if you're a Minnesota farm winery, you have to be on 10 acres. So we are out in the country where I can't go find. And we have the rule we can't have a storefront in a bigger city, so we have to try to draw them out here. And that's kind of, it's a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, we're out where the people aren't and the traffic to get to us, but it is getting the people out in the country and experience it.
And it's also, because it's so picturesque, you host things like events or weddings and things like that?
Yes, we have quite a few weddings here at our winery. There are lots of Minnesota farm wineries also have the weddings, and most now they're having food at them, or they're a brewery or a distillery. So it's a lot of fun, the different changes that have been happening over the years.
I've also noticed a bit of a big push around the publicity of grape stomps in recent years. This certainly feeds right into the agritourism aspect, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. That's grape stomps are wonderful things to get. And not most. We also have vendors that come out. Oh, it's craft fairs, vendors. It's bringing in a lot of people into that community. Carlos Creek has one of the largest. They're a 3-day affair now, and they bring in vendors, and people come from all over the state. They're in their hotels and going through there. So it does a lot for the state, and they're fun. It's a great time to get together.
In Minnesota, there's a passport system for wine lovers to enjoy. Could you just tell us a little bit about how this works?
Yeah, it's Minnesota Grape Growers has a passport. It is $25, and from that, it is like a true passport. The wineries that are in there, you go through and you get a free tasting at that winery, 10 free tastings, and they stamp it. And then in there, for whichever winery you go to, they usually have a little deal or special that maybe 10% off if you buy six or get another tasting or something with that. So it's a great way to experience this, not just Minnesota too. We have some Wisconsin and Iowa and South Dakota wineries in there. So it is a true passport where you can, and it never goes out of date because that's a fun thing.
What has the response been to this type of idea?
It's been great. It gets people to experience different wineries, so they're not just going to the same winery, because all of us are all different throughout the state. There's some that have only a couple acres and they don't distribute to any other the liquor stores. They just do everything in-house, as those that are the big ones that distribute and you can find in all the liquor stores throughout the state.
So this might be the hardest question. That's why I, of course, save it for last. But what's your favorite part of growing grapes and producing wine?
Oh, the fun part. Growing grapes, I love, like I said, it's just fun in the springtime when they're blooming out. I love the bloom, the smell. They're relaxing when you go out there and work on them, even though they're hard work. At the winery part, I would say it's meeting all the people. It's fun having them come in. The weddings, the events, the family reunions are just a blast.
So then the very final question. Where can listeners go to find out more about your industry and about you?
There's quite a few websites. And one would be Minnesota Grape Growers Association, of course. It goes through there. We have topics of how to prune your vines, how to grow your vines, where to find us. Also, Minnesota Grown, if you're looking for wineries or visiting them, there's a lot of maps out to go find them.
Jenny, thank you very much for speaking with us today. It's been great.
Thank you.
That is Jenny Ellenbecker, president of Minnesota Grape Growers Association and co-owner of the Round Lake Vineyard and Winery in Round Lake, Minnesota. That will do it for us on this episode of the Rural Perspectives Podcast, which is a production of Ag Country Farm Credit Services. To get more great content, please visit www.agcountry.com.